We are thankful for your goodness today, Lord, for your mercies that are new every morning, for new beginnings. Doesn't matter what happened yesterday or last week or 10 years ago. It doesn't matter what happened on the way to church this morning. It's a new day, a new beginning. Amen. It's time to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. If he lives in you, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Forgetting those things which are behind, we press on. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Wow. Thank you, God. Ooh, something's about to happen in here today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Something is happening here. You know, God is moving. We got to move with him. You say, well, God moved. He didn't go anywhere. You know, he's been here, hasn't he? He's been with you. Yeah. Now, the devil, he can come and go, but God doesn't. God is ever present. Amen. And all things are held together. The word says, by the word of his power, his creative word, as God spoke, let there be light, and there was light. The first thing, even before light, was what? Sound. It was the sound of his voice. He spoke and created light. So actually, sound was before light. Isn't it interesting? They're now discovering, the scientists are discovering what the Bible said all along, you know. They might, why don't they just read the Bible, you know? You'll save yourself a lot of investigation or what's research. Because actually, science was originally supposed to just prove and validate through nature, you know, what the Bible said, what God said about it. And instead, we've got evil men in there trying to just disprove God. And what's happening is they're discovering, even I've heard, I don't know for sure, but even Stephen Hawking is starting to change his mind about things because of the things that they're discovering through science. And they can't explain it. It's way beyond this gray matter, amen, our ability to comprehend the vastness, the immensity of our God, the Creator God who spoke everything in. He's amazing and he's awesome. He's most high. Hallelujah. How dare we think we're smarter than God, you know? I once thought that. I was so much older then, I'm younger than that now. Hallelujah. I wonder if the birds really knew what they were singing about when they sang that song. Oh, I was so much older then. I'm younger than that now. So we're humbled in his awesome majesty, his presence, his glory, as he's constantly revealing himself to us in new ways that we just never saw before. He's this multifaceted God. And we think we can just put God in our little theological box and, well, let me tell you what God is. And we scratch the surface of understanding, don't we? But we're in a continuation of just revealing of his glory as he reveals himself to us. We're going from glory to glory, from faith to faith. So don't ever get into the place where you think you've got it figured out. And you stop learning. You start growing. You stop exploring. You know, God wants to be sought. If we think that we've got just enough under our belt now, we're totally, you know, we're going to be empty. We're going to be dry. Because God, his mercies are new every morning. Every day, you know, the Lord is with us. He's near us, and he wants to reveal himself to us more and more. And he is wonderful, isn't he? He really does love us. He really does love us. That's hard for us to fathom sometimes because we don't like us sometimes, right? But God loves me. So if you don't like me, at least my Father likes me. You know, we say, you know, love and like. But, you know, not only does God love you, he likes you too because he made you. Now, some people get upset with that and think, well, you're just stroking people's ego. But you know what? God really loves you, and he likes you. I'm talking about his kids that are in the new creation, amen? You know, even the people that aren't in Christ, God loves. When you and I weren't in Christ, he loved us first. He took the initiative. It wasn't because we were so, you know, spiritual. It's because he had mercy on us. Because he loved us and he wanted us to be with him. And so he went all the way to the cross on our behalf so we could enjoy fellowship like we have today. Amen. Together with the family of God. Yeah. You know, we're all in this together, and we're discovering God together, and we're learning together, we're growing together, and we're learning Him. You know, we're through practice, and through trial, and through error. Come on, right? Life is trial and error. You know, God needs some more Peters who are willing to get out of the boat, amen? I mean, He made everybody focuses on the fact that Peter sunk, you know? But I'm focusing on the fact that Peter got out of the boat. Come on, right? We need some more Peters to step out for God. And you discover who you are by practice. Did you know that? The faith is something you practice. It's not about just getting more information. It's about learning who He is and experiencing God in reality, in truth. Worshiping Him in spirit and in truth and in reality. He's real. So He's not some God way up there that we're learning about. Someday maybe we'll get to meet Him. But He's a God who is personal, who is Emmanuel. He's with us. He sent His Holy Spirit so we could have fellowship with Him. That's an amazing thing about this relationship with Jesus. And we're so thankful for You today, Lord. And God, I ask that You will guide and You will direct my thoughts, my words, my actions, my deeds, and everything that we do in this place, Lord. We just want it to honor You and point to You, Lord, and not to man. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want to just say something. You know, the Bible says that God sent His word and healed their disease. The word is vital to everything. Amen? And when God speaks, there's life. He says, Jesus said, these words I speak unto you are spirit and they are life. They produce life. And so they quicken us, the true word of God. And so our theology should be leading us to an experience in God. It's not enough just to learn about God, but we need to know Him. So God gives us the written word so that we will know the living word. Amen. But it's by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit of God, that the living word is revealed to us, that we come to know Christ in reality and in truth, right? So God's word itself is what produces the supernatural. Amen. I heard somebody say, well, we're not into so much theology, we're just into the supernatural. I'm saying, but yet it's the word of God. Unless, of course, it's not the Word of God. But if it's the Word of God, it's going to produce supernatural results. How many here have been changed in your lives, in your hearts? Yeah. Through the Word of God. Amen? Yeah. Amen? We need to hear. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And so the signs and the wonders are to confirm the Word of God. Amen? And they're not always evidence of the Word of God, but they are to confirm the Word of God, right? Amen. Because the devil can do signs and wonders too. But when Jesus is speaking, and he will confirm His Word with accompanying signs. So let's be very careful, because there's some people today, I've heard some people talk to me this way, and I'm like, dude, you're missing something here, very important. And God gave us His Word to protect us, you know? It's kind of like a water, that river is wonderful as long as it's within the banks, you know. But it can be very destructive if we are not, you know, listening to the voice of God, hearing the voice of God. I'm learning daily how to hear God's voice. And I learn through experiences that I encounter. Anybody beside myself have a few experiences, right? Things that you face that you've never faced before, being in a place you've never been before, wondering, well, how is this going to turn out? What's going to happen here? Well, we're going to talk about that again today. And I say we, the Holy Spirit and I, by the grace of God. And hopefully you're going to be with me in this. But the Lord takes his servants, His people, into places that they've never been before because He wants to train us. He wants to teach us. He wants to develop our character. And He wants us to come into a place where we can be trusted with the greater riches. So we have to go through some stuff to be somebody. And we don't like that, you know. How many have just blasted your way through high school? And don't raise your hand if you cheated. But, you know, but sometimes people are just doing whatever they can to get through. You know, and we don't want to take the process along the way. We want to take shortcuts. Well, folks, how many know that you miss out if that's the way you live? Because even though you may get that certificate that says that you passed, if you didn't learn your ABCs, you're in trouble in life. Likewise, God has a process for our lives, and there are no shortcuts to this. Whenever we try to take shortcuts, we mess up. We want to go from 0 to 50 without going anywhere in between, you know what I'm saying? We want to be there. But God has a process for our lives, and it's a good process. It's not always easy. It requires pain at times, challenges, temptations, and tests. But God is developing and preparing a people that will be with Him forever. He is making His bride beautiful. The church is likened to the bride, and I believe the bride is actually those who are as John was, the ones who are on his breast, close to the Lord. But God is preparing a bride, a church that's going to be pure. And so it is a process, and we just don't get there instantly as much as we want to. I don't know about you, but I've always been one of these guys that likes to be, that's in a hurry and wants to get somewhere fast. Yeah. But I'm there too. I get that, man. And so God has to put the brakes on me. And you know who God has used often in my life to put the brakes on? Right here. Hey, Sook. She's brought a lot of balance. We've kind of balanced each other out along the way. You know, your spouse and you can minister to one another, you know, and develop each other. And after a while, you kind of meet in the sweet spot in the middle. And it's like, yeah, this is where it works. This is how we were designed to fit together. And so it is with the body of Christ. There is a place for us where we fit, and through discovery, sometimes trial and error. Well, I'll try this. Well, that didn't work. That's not what I'm supposed to do. That's not what I'm called to do. But I'm going to discover who I am, and so that I can be effective and working together as a team to advance the kingdom of God in the earth. Now, I want us to start out today from Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. And the title of today's message is Stepping Out of Unbelief. Stepping out of unbelief. I know that's an ugly word, unbelief. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Brethren, beware, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. The connection to departing from God is unbelief. But exhort one another daily, or encourage one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast. How long? While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Do you understand that there is a connection between unbelief and disobedience? If you want to enter into God's rest and to his promises, you're going to have to listen to his voice. See, God was disgusted with his people because he had demonstrated his glorious power in signs and wonders. They had seen the miracles of God. How many know that miracles are not always going to carry you through? Amen? God wants to develop us internally, strengthen you with might in the inner man by his Spirit, so that you'll be able to stand up on the outside. If you're not standing on the inside, you can't stand very long on the outside. We may think we are, but we're really not. What happened here is they doubted his power. They doubted his faithfulness. They doubted that God was going to protect them. They doubted that God was going to provide for them. Now, he had done it in the past. Over and over, he had demonstrated his power and his faithfulness, but when they found themselves in a place they'd never been before, They were being tested whether or not they would believe God for the future. You can't live out of your past. God wants you to believe Him for your future. If you live out of the past, you won't enter into the future that He has. Many people do not enter into the promises of God because they live out of what was. They live out of the place of sweet memories, how they linger. Memories are wonderful, but memories are not going to get you to your destiny. Memories can be there to encourage you. They are your testimony of what God has done in the past, so that what He did in the past can be brought into the now, and you can have confidence towards the future. You understand that's how God does things in your life? Not because we deserve it, but God knows what we have need of. And He has blessed us in so many ways that, you know, there's so many things that God has done in my life, I don't have the time to tell you about it all, and I can't remember half of them probably. But God has been there, and He's done many wonderful things in my life that I didn't deserve. But God did that so that I would have something to reflect on in the time that I faced the new trial or the new opposition. We talked about last week how Joshua came up to the Jordan, you know, with the people. And that river was swollen. It was at the time where it overflowed its banks. It was in flood stage. And this river was between them and the promise of God. And all of us at times are going to face the rivers that stand between us and what we believe God has told us and showed us. And yet, it was those who believed that were going to enter into that place of promise. Not without conflict, not without difficulties, but they were going to step through, amen, that river. And that river, again, was typifying death. Death to what? Death to self. Death to my way. You cannot live in God's ways until you are done with your ways. As a matter of fact, I'm not ready for Jesus until I'm done with me. So God brings you into places where you have no other alternatives except to trust Him. God will allow you and I, once again, to fail over and over and over again until we realize that where I'm called to go, I cannot go on my own. What God has called you to is bigger than you are, and you can't take yourself there. We can strive, we can struggle, we can fast, we can pray, but you're not going to get there unless you start listening to the voice of God, and God will give you instruction and direction as to how to get into the promise. So we've got to listen to His voice and learn to know His voice, and you don't learn His voice except that you find yourself in places where you're going to be desperate to hear His voice. And then you get a little more serious about this thing. God, I need an answer. I just had something happen earlier this week that really kind of rocked my boat. And all I could do is get with God and say, oh, God, I need help. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes life just gets all over you and you start getting those anxious feelings and stuff starts piling up. And I found a refuge in the Lord. Just seek, go after God. Casting all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. I'm going to talk about unbelief because God hates it. And we don't want to go there. Amen? All unbelief, folks, is sin. Sin is unbelief. And they didn't enter into the land. These are the ones that God brought out by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? How does that relate to us today? Well, we are believers through faith in Jesus, through the shed blood of Jesus. Amen? And we can be brought out by the blood. But God wants to take us into somewhere. He takes us out of Egypt to bring us in somewhere. And we can't go in there unless we learn how to follow Him, to listen to His voice. So God took Israel out into the wilderness so that they would learn to hear His voice. So they would be in a place where man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. God's bringing you and I into a place where we begin to live by every word of God. Amen? Where we are done with our ways and we're ready for His ways. The problem is that we're not done with our ways, but we want His ways too. So we are what the Bible calls double-minded. And that means unstable. A double man is what? Unstable. So if I'm still wanting my ways and His ways simultaneously, I'm constantly unstable. So God brings you to a place, if you will, where you're going to die to yourself. And you're going to realize that my ways are not his ways. My thoughts are not his thoughts. As the Lord says, my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. We need his thoughts. We need to discover his ways and we need to forsake our way. If you want to enter into the promise of God, you're going to have to learn his voice and to walk in his ways. And there's that struggle that goes on because you know what? None of us like to die to ourselves. We like to be our own God. We want to be our own Lord. Now, we'll call on God when we're in a pinch. Oh, God, help me. But do we want him to be Lord of our daily walk? How many know it doesn't work until he's Lord? You're just wasting your time unless you're willing to die to yourself. You can't be a disciple of Jesus until you come to the place where I'm dying to myself daily. I'm learning how to do that. How about you? And if you're not, God's going to take you to a place where you're going to say, God, help. And he wants to reveal himself to you in that place, just like he did to Israel. Over and over, they found themselves in situations where they could not pass through. God brought them through, right, by his mighty hand. He wrought a miracle, even in the Red Sea, as he brought them through. But unbelief is rooted in self-confidence. As I was studying this, the Lord just dropped that and he goes, unbelief is rooted in self-confidence. See, this is the confusion because we're taught to be self-confident in the world. And that is the way of natural man. But we are supernatural beings in Christ. And there is a higher confidence that comes from confidence in God. And it is the only way that we're going to discover the purpose for which we were created. Is living according to the will of God and my confidence being in God's ability and no longer in my own ability. We don't like not being in control. But God has to take us to a place where you're not any longer. Where the things that you once trusted in, the things that you were once confident in yourself, you're no longer confident in that anymore. Has anybody been discovering this, that there are things that you used to be very confident in and now you're not anymore? And it was after you came to Christ. Because God is weaning us off ourselves so that we will lean on him and have his grace working mightily in our lives. Self-confidence is the problem, folks. And yet many in the church have listened to the psychology of our age. Self-esteem. Where in the Bible does it say to esteem yourself? It doesn't. Folks, I don't have an image problem. I'm a child of God. Amen? I'm a child of God. I'm not a slave to fear. I don't have to keep up with the Joneses. I don't have to copy Hollywood or try to be somebody else. Because my identity is not in the things of this world or in the people of this world. My identity is in Christ. My identity is not in you and your identity is not in me. It's in Christ. And my confidence is in my God and not in myself. And God began to teach me when I was working for Panasonic years ago. That all of a sudden I just kept blowing it and blowing it. And I was so good at it and I was so confident in what I was doing. But I kept blowing it and blowing it. Because God was trying to teach me something. Your ways are not my ways. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Wow. The weak become strong in Christ and not in themselves. Actually, when I'm strong in myself, I'm actually weak. But when I'm strong in the Lord... then I'm strong. When I'm not confident in me, then I can be confident in God, and therefore I have grace for the journey. This is what Paul was trying to teach us about even the situations that he faced with this thorn in his flesh. God didn't remove it for a reason, because he wanted Paul to be in a place where he could continue to use him. Because you know, as soon as God uses us, the first thing usually that happens is we get proud. You know, God works a miracle. Somebody gets healed. We start to think we're something. But it ain't of us. It's really of God. And it's for the glory of His name. God shares His glory with us in this world. We get to walk with Him in this, but it's about Him. Right now, we're in the place of the servant who says, Lord, it is my duty to serve you. I'm an unprofitable servant. I'm just doing that which I was commanded to do. That's where we're at now. And the day will come when Jesus says, hey, sit down at my table. And He says, I will gird myself and I will serve you. Now, I can't even fathom that. He's the master of the universe. But He's chosen us. You're not here by accident today. There's a reason. When we're full of our ways, we don't sense the need to pray or seek the Lord. Amos 5:4 says, seek me and live. The Lord says, seek me and live. Amos 5:4. When we are full of ourselves, when we're full of self-confidence, we don't sense the need to pray or to seek the Lord. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Am I right? Is it making sense? When I am empty of myself, when I do not depend on myself, when I'm afraid of trusting in myself, then I start leaning heavy on God, and that therefore produces a willingness in my heart to seek Him and to pray, amen, for grace, for daily bread. Why do you think God said, pray daily this? Give us this day our daily bread. Amen. If we're full of ourselves, then we don't sense the need for daily bread. Well, I got plenty of food in the refrigerator. How many know He's talking about more than food? Amen? Natural food. He's talking about His Spirit, His grace. We can't live without His grace. We cannot overcome without His grace. We cannot overcome in our own cleverness, in our own, even in our own knowledge. If we're just trying to operate out of just a intellectual, you know, knowledge of theology, you're not going to overcome either. You can't just live by principles. You need to live by the Spirit of God. You need to live in relationship with Him. You need to know Him. You need to hear His voice. You need to be led by the Spirit. Again, the principles are to point us to Christ. So we got to step out of this thing called unbelief. Why? Because God hates it. Unbelief is you and I saying, you know what? I don't believe God's going to come through for me. When we don't believe God, it insults Him. Yeah. It's insulting. If you tell somebody something in truth, and you make a promise to somebody in truth, and they don't believe you, it's insulting. Because you're saying, you don't trust my character. You don't trust my word. You don't believe what I'm telling you is true. How does it feel? Do you understand? God gave us His truth. God gave us His word. God gave us His promises. And He wants us to trust Him. That's why it says to trust Him with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Your own understanding tries to reason everything out, tries to figure everything out, tries to make heads and tails about everything. God's ways are above your reason. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You got to get into heaven and amen with Him. You got to get your thoughts with His thoughts. And your ways in alignment with His ways. And then He'll take you through the river. He'll take you through the difficulty. He'll take you into the promise. But it's not going to happen in the flesh. We have to come to the place where we say, okay, my way is the way of destruction. I have to forsake my way so I can walk in His way. Elijah. God used this man in demonstrations of power. Tremendous miracles. And yet, God had to keep Elijah humble. God had to take Elijah to the brook that dried up and be fed by dirty birds, ravens, you know. God had to take Elijah into a place where he was going to have to depend daily on God's provision and to learn to listen to His voice. Because what happens is when God uses us, we can very easily get proud. And once we get proud, we're no longer any good. Because then we start to take the glory on ourselves. So Elijah finds himself in a place that's like, I'm the great prophet. And now I'm eating meager meals in a shanty, depending on an old widow to take care of me. Here's the great man of God. What was God doing? God was keeping Elijah humble because He didn't want to lose him. You think about David and how he had the promise, you know, of ascending the throne, and he was anointed by Samuel, and yet David, next thing he knows, he's got javelins thrown at him. He's being hunted like a dog. They're trying to kill him. You know, he's in and out of caves and just living out in the boonies, and his whole life just kind of seemed to fall apart after the promise came. Why? Because God wanted a man that He could trust. And in order for God to trust us, He has to take us into a place where we have to learn to hear His voice. Because we mix it up a lot. Let's admit it. We're hearing God one moment, the next moment it's us. And we're like, is that me or is that God? And we're still a lot of us. And us cannot be in the way. Amen? We got to get out of the way. So God brings us to a place where we're not confident in ourselves anymore, so that we will be confident in His ability to take us through. Why was it that God took Moses from the palace into the wilderness for 40 years? God was teaching Moses a few things. God was humbling him. God was bringing him into a place where he would learn His voice. And it was after the 40 years of tending sheep that God calls him out of the burning bush to be the deliverer of His people. Do you understand that Moses was not ready to be the deliverer of God's people as long as he had all of the skill and the confidence of Egypt in him? God had to wean him off the ways of Egypt, and it took 40 years. But after that time, then came the promise that he would be the one to deliver God's people out of bondage. See, this is how God, over and over in Scripture, we see this. We see Joseph with the promise, you know, the sun and the moon would bow down to him, the stars would bow down to him. And then all of a sudden, the next thing he knows, he's being thrown into the pit. He's being sold as a slave. Whatever happened to the promise? Well, God was going to develop him into a leader that he could trust. If we want to be great in the kingdom, it's going to come through humility. It's really going to come through taking on the form of a servant and being willing just to say, yes, Lord, whatever you want. It's not about me anymore. See, sometimes we can get ourselves and promote ourselves and advance ourselves, and we get in with the right people and we're just trying to get somewhere. And you know, the world is full of ambition and people trying to claw their way to the top of the pile. And then when they get up there, they're just as empty as they were when they were in the bottom of the pile. Why? Because it's not the will of God for them. And even in the church, sometimes we're just striving and trying to get somewhere and get recognized in the church. And God says, if you want to be recognized, disappear. Disappear into your closet. Amen? When you pray in secret. You're not there to be seen of men. You're there, amen, to serve the Lord. Do you know God honors those who honor Him? So our desire is to honor God. Not to promote ourselves, not to advance ourselves, not to make our name great. We don't have to put our name over all of our ministry. My name wouldn't fit anyways. Keith Arnsmeyer Ministries International. I don't know. It's They're like, who? Really, God's just, it's just, God, I just want to know when it's all done, when it's all said and done, that I've been faithful. I've just been faithful to you. I just did what you told me to do. I didn't look at the brother over here or the sister over here and say, boy, I wish I was like them. I just want to be who you want me to be in this world. Because if you're not who you are, in the body, and you're trying to be somebody you're not, then the body will miss you, and your contribution will be lost. There are many people who are trying to ascend the ladder, even in denominationalism and in places like that, where you're rubbing elbows with the big guys, you know, and well, how many are you running? And, you know, it ain't about you. It ain't about me. It's about Jesus. We want to point people to Jesus. Amen. All we can say is, Lord, I'm an unprofitable servant. I'm doing what was required of me. Based upon all that you did for me, Romans 12, amen. I'm just going to offer my body back to you as a living sacrifice and say, Lord, fill me with your power and your presence. Give me ears to hear your voice, and I will follow you. Amen. And whatever your will is, if it means cutting the grass or breaking the lawn, whatever it is, I'm willing to do it. You see, sometimes God is telling us to do something just like that. But we're looking over here at this thing, and God says, well, you're not going to get to that thing until you learn this thing. You know, one of the mistakes that we've made in this country, especially in the last probably 30, 40 years, is that we're producing ministers that just go to school, and then we stick them in a pulpit somewhere. And they have no life experience. They have not learned to serve. Come on. And then they sit as kings on the throne. And they become proud. And you know, the statistics are staggering of how many ministers are falling. And you know, God takes us through a process, and He will break us, and He will bring us into humility. And some of these ministers are called of God, but they have not gone the process of the Lord. They have taken their own route to get to the top. Are you hearing me? You can have anointings and giftings, but it has to be by God's direction and not your own. Whatever it is in life that you're called to, you know, ladies, with children, you're called to be a godly mother, you know, and a wife. You're there to minister to your family, to your children. That is a high role. I mean, that is something that I watch women doing this, and I'm just like, man, well, I'm glad I'm not a woman. No. Did I just say that? But if you ask Jesus, she'll tell you, I'm just teasing. No, actually, I mean that. But she'll tell you, am I in trouble? Yeah, I'll keep talking. You can tell when I'm getting in trouble, my mouth is moving. But Jesus here will tell you that in our relationship, we have mutual respect. We respect each other. We are a partnership. She understands that I'm the head of the house. And when her and I are in the right place, her life is blessed. Hear it, ladies. She's, am I right, honey? She better say it. You know. Now, let me just take a quick, okay, listen, guys, please. I just want to take a quick rabbit trail here on this one. Do you know that God has only given men really one instruction in the family? Women one instruction and children one instruction. Do you know what it is? Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Amen? Ladies, what? Respect your husbands. Submit and respect, right? Submit is that word. Oh, that submit thing. But you understand that God will place you under his protection and his blessing when you're under the headship of your husband. You respect and honor him. Amen? Now, it's not forever. It's just for this life. Amen? In the spirit, we're the same. But there are different roles. It doesn't mean that a woman is inferior to a man. It means that she has a different role. We understand that about authority. Just because somebody is in authority doesn't make them better. It just means that they have a different responsibility in this life. And we're all accountable to God for what we did with what we had and what we were called to do. And then children are to do what? Honor your mother and your father. Now hear this. It didn't say, when you turn 18 or you no longer honor your father and your mother, it says honor your father and your mother. That it may go well with you and that you may live long upon the earth. There's a promise of long life if you will honor your mom and your dad. And if you're out of relationship, you're not in a favorable relationship with your parents, it doesn't matter what age you are, pray to God that God will bring healing and restoration. And you begin to honor your parents. Thank you, Lord. How about Lazarus? Lazarus, our brother, is dying. Jesus, would you come and heal him? What did Jesus do? He dropped everything and he went immediately. No. He waited 4 more days till he was thinketh, right? He was good and dead. Because what Jesus wanted to do is do a resurrection. Amen? And listen to this, folks. There are many times that you and I come to a death to something in our lives, even a promise or a dream. But it's necessary if you want it to be resurrected in God. Amen? So you got to let those things go. When you come before the Lord, take your dreams, take the promises, remind the Lord, but leave them at the altar. Say, Lord, I lay it down. I lay down my agenda, my dreams, my goals, and I ask you now to decide. Be Lord. Be Lord. We've all got these plans, and you know, hey, this would be such a great idea if we would just do this, you know. Oh, I don't know about asking God about this, because this is just so exciting, and he may say no. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? You've been there. He's like, I don't know if I really... We'll say, well, I'll pray about it. Yes, yes, I'll buy the car, yes. It looks so good. We make these decisions. We make these fast decisions, and we don't really acknowledge the Lord. And then later, we're just eating the fruit of that, saying, God, well, what is God doing? He's saying, learn from it. Don't beat yourself up in it anymore, amen? Let it be a lesson to you. Learn from it so you can grow and you can become, you know, mature in me. All of us have blown it. All of us do, and we still do, but we're learning. Amen? We don't deny it. We don't run from it. We just acknowledge it. We face up to it. If you have a falling out with somebody, you just deal with it, man. Get with them. Talk to them. Do the best you can. It's not always possible, but you can at least pray for them. What God is calling us to is beyond where we can take ourselves. We're self-confident. We're good at being in charge and being in control. And it's a process. And you know, God knows what it takes to get us to the place. Amen? Where now we're saying, okay, Lord, I lay it down. I was running with this agenda. But now I'm ready to submit it all to you. And I'm ready to acknowledge you in all my ways. That's really how he directs our steps. Amen. Till we say, I'm not going to do anything unless God says, okay. So next time you buy a burger? No, I'm kidding. Yeah. Well, Lord, should I go to McDonald's or Burger King? He's probably going to say go to neither one of them. But anyways, yeah. Do you understand? It's a step-by-step process in our lives. Yeah. He'll tell you to eat a salad. All right. Hebrews 10:35 says this, if you would join with me. Just hold on for a few more moments. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. What confidence is he talking about here? Is he talking about confidence in ourselves? He's talking about confidence, a confident trust that the Lord will someday reward you for your faithfulness. Do you know why we serve the Lord? Because he called us to serve and not be served. It's more blessed to serve than to be served. But when we're serving, folks, often we're expecting immediate returns. We're expecting for things just to come flying our way and blessings. And you know, I have found it is a blessing to serve others and to minister to other people. But folks, there are many things that God is calling you and I to do that you're not going to see any immediate results. There are many things that God is going to call you to do that you won't even see any results in this lifetime. Well, we're living not for this life, but we're living for that life. We have our eyes fixed on Canaan. We're entering into God's rest and His promise someday where He's going to take us there, but we've got to listen to His voice, and we've got to start responding to the voice of God. We need to start listening to what He's telling us, and we need to lay our agendas aside and say, Lord, there's nothing more important in my life than that I have done the will of God. That is the only thing that's going to matter when we see Jesus Christ in that day, is did I do the will of God for my life? Have I been faithful to the one who's been faithful to me? Have I served? Have I loved? That's the only thing that's going to matter in that day. Are you hearing me? To hear Jesus say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what I'm looking forward to. Amen. I may not get any recognition. I may not get chosen to play on the team. Come on. But God sees, and He sees your heart. He sees what you do in secret. He sees your prayers. He sees your heart of service. He sees the times when you didn't do it to be impressed, to impress somebody, but you went over and you prayed for somebody because His love was in you and you wanted to see that person healed, and God was moving you by His Spirit. And you didn't do it to be seen of men. You did it to glorify your Father. And He'll reward you. Well, I don't want to do that because nobody will see me if I do that. Well, if you're doing it to be seen, that's your reward. It's hard for me not to be seen. But when I am up here, I want to honor my Father. I want to honor God. I want to know that I'm doing His will and I'm completing that which He's given me to do. You know? And that means sometimes I'm not going to be liked. Imagine that. Sometimes I'm not going to be popular. Oh, everybody thinks that if you're in the spotlight, if you're behind the pulpit, then you've got all kinds of friends and everybody likes you. And guess what? Maybe if you're compromising, they would, yeah. But if you're telling people the truth, they're going to hate you. Jesus said they hated me. They'll hate you too. You got a few people that hate you? Not because you're a knucklehead, but... but because you did the right thing. I want people, amen, not to hate me. But if they are going to hate me, I want it to be for the right reason. But I'm going to love them back. I don't care if you hate me. I'm going to love you. I'm going to pray for you. If you despitefully use me and persecute me, I'm not going to get in the same funk where you're at. God pulled me out of that, and I'm trying to pull you out. We don't resist evil, amen? We overcome evil with good. Do the opposite. Are you enjoying this today?
Yes.
So am I. He said, yeah, we can tell. Yeah. I like me. No. You know, God likes me. I love you, Jesus. And I love you too. I love you guys. So I tell you the truth. I know I want what's best for you, and I know what's best for you is what God says. And I can't save anybody, but I can point you to the one who can save. So trust in the Lord. Amen. Follow Jesus. Seek His face. Know His voice. Be willing to lay down your life. Be willing to lay down your agenda. Be willing to lay down your dreams. If you want a resurrection in your life, you're going to have to die to yourself. Amen? It's when I'm done with me that I'm in the position now to be used of Jesus. So if you blow it, and you will again, and you fail, get back up. Amen? Don't stay down. Get back up. Learn from it. Understand that was you. That caused that to happen. Amen? And that's the part of us that we don't like. The part of us that gets in the way. The part of us that interferes with the will of God. That's the part that has to die. When God says to do something, there's another part of you that says, well, I don't want to do that. Say, shut up. God said to do this, I'm going to do it. Even if it costs you. Because God is in the sacrifice. If you want to live, you have to die to yourself. I'm learning how to do that. How about you? That's beautiful. And that's where the fruit of the Spirit is manifested in our lives. There's fruit. Good fruit. There's good fruit in Him. The world doesn't need us, folks. They need Jesus. That's why we've got to get out of the way and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And you know what? It's a joy to serve Him. We get to do this. We get to yoke up with Jesus and walk with Jesus and do the things that Jesus did. Did you know you can do that too? Do you know in Christ you can heal the sick by the power of the Holy Spirit? Not in yourself, but by faith in Christ, in His name. You don't have to wait to come to the altar or pray with a pastor, amen, or an evangelist or apostle, whoever. You believe God, that you are a child of God. If the Holy Spirit's in you, then the Holy Spirit wants to work through you and minister through you. For what reason? To make you famous? To make Jesus famous.
Amen.
Amen? To draw attention to the Lord. And people will say, I want to know this Jesus who loves me that much. How many know that God loved us when we were unlovely? He first loved us. Wasn't because I just decided I'm going to get my life together now. Because God has to do the work in us. Oh yes, we can make corrections, and we should. We can make right choices, but right choices aren't going to save you. Just making right choices, unless the right choice is to repent. That means to turn to God, forsake your way. See, it's not about just sinning. We're talking about unbelief today. Unbelief is me operating in self-confidence, operating in my way. That is what Jesus was talking about when he talked about the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. What does the sand represent? It represents my ways. And I don't want to mix my ways with his ways. I want to lay my ways down so I can walk exclusively in his ways. And you'll find if you're willing to lay down your dreams and your goals at the altar and say, Lord, you decide, that God will resurrect them. And he'll give you the desires of your heart. But first, the kingdom. Jesus first, everything. That's how it works. Amen. Thank you, God.